It is so good to be back with you here at El Bethel. It's been probably about 5 or 6 years since I've been amongst you, and I'm thankful that we are back together again. I do pray that the Lord will bless this meeting and will bless every one of us with the grace that we certainly stand in need of, and that we would be able to worship the Lord, we trust, in spirit and in truth. I have prayed for you, and I've thought about you a lot. I didn't forget about you, and I tried to remember El Bethel in prayer. Went back over memory lanes a lot of times, the times that we got to spend together. Some of my most famous stories have come from El Bethel Church. Some of my most infamous stories have come from El Bethel Church. But they're all good. Don't worry, I wouldn't say anything bad about you. There's nothing bad to say. But we can certainly heartwarm ourselves and talk about 6 years ago, 7 years ago, that meeting, this. Remember that meeting over there? Remember when Brother Dave said this and did that, and Brother Bill did that and didn't do this? We can talk about all that. I'd rather talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I think that's a much better purpose to meet together. There's time enough to rehearse the good old days. These are the good present days. And may the Lord abide with us as we endeavor to worship Him. I've got about 18 different sermons on my mind, and I'm looking for grace to preach one of them. May not get it. I really do. I can tell you all 18 of them, but I want the one that the Lord would send. And so we trust that the Lord will be in this tonight. Made up my mind. All right. I want to turn to the third chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. I like that. Peter and John went up together. I like to see them getting along. There was a time Peter and John weren't getting along too good. Can you imagine believers not getting along? Can you imagine Primitive Baptists not getting along? We always meet in peace and love, don't we? Y'all ever have a conference? Then you know what I'm talking about. Usually when the church is in unity, it's when you know the Lord is blessing that church. David said, "How good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity." At the end of the gospel, according to John, he was laying on the breast of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord had pronounced something upon Peter that Peter didn't like, and he pointed to John. He said, "Well, what about this man?" Basically, the Lord said, "That ain't none of your business." You know, a lot of church trouble can be saved that we just minded our own business. That's what the Lord said. He said, if I say for him to tarry till I come, what is that to thee? If he does nothing, and I tell him to do nothing, it's none of your business. Now, after the day of Pentecost, the Lord had added to the church daily, should be saved, 3,000 had joined the church upon that great day. And the church was established in Jerusalem. Peter and John, apostles, were coming, going together. They're together. That's good. good to be together. We need one another. We're better together than we are alone. You can worship the Lord better in the assembly than you can by yourself. You say, well, I don't need to go to church. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Stop it, stop it. Don't tell me that. I dare some of you to tell me that after church. I've got a speech for you. I don't need the church. Yes, you do. The church don't need you, but you need the church. Church get along fine without me, but I can't get along without the church. I need the assembly. So, well, I don't like so-and-so. I don't like blah, blah, blah. I don't like so-and-so. You hang around me long enough, you'll find something about me that you don't like. I hang around you y'all long enough? Probably. We're all sinners. We need the grace of the Lord. But to go up together, the hour of prayer, to the temple, to the house of God. Jesus said, this, my Father's house, shall be called the house of prayer. They're going together. Together, what are they going to do? They're going to pray. Where are they going? To the temple. What are they going to do when they get there? They're going to pray. They're going to pray together. They're looking forward to it. A good thing is coming. The anticipation of it is good and it's sweet. Think about this meeting. Just to prepare. We have our meeting at home. I like to get ready for it. Somebody's coming. What are they like? Let's make it a good time for them. Let's pray. Let's all meet together. Have a prayer meeting. Pray for the meeting. We're going to have worship. We're going to do the best thing we possibly can do. We're going to be together and we're going to have a meeting. And we're going to be with our best friends. And we're going to feel the presence of the Lord. We're going to walk into His kingdom. Though there's trouble out there, it's good in here. So there they go. They pass by a man. Verse 2, it says, a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Here's a man that had never walked. Only thing this man could do was beg. People carried him to this place where people would walk by going into the temple. They went through a place called the Beautiful Gate, or the gate called Beautiful. It was a beautiful gate from what I've read about it. It was good to look upon. It was goodly. They had decorated it. It looked nice. But friends, what happened beyond the gate was much more beautiful than the gate itself, because what happened beyond the gate is where the Lord was worshipped. His name was honored. People felt His presence. And there they communed with the Lord. Psalms 55 says that famous verse. David said, oh, had I wings of a dove, I would fly away. I'd fly away. A lot of times we think, oh, he's talking about flying away to heaven. He's not. He's not talking about going to heaven. You think if you had the wings of a dove, you'd be able to go to paradise? You can't get to heaven by your own works. Wings can't get you there. No, David said, I want to go to the wilderness. Why? Why? I want to get away from the noise, from the trials and the troubles. And when I get to the wilderness, he says, there I will call on the name of the Lord. He says, yeah, I'll call upon the Lord and He will answer. You ever been to the wilderness? It's a good place to be. This man saw this gate. Saw the people go in. And he could not go beyond the gate. He couldn't do it. He never could do it. He was lame from his mother's womb. All he could do was beg. That's all he could expect. That's the best that he could do, was just enough to get him by one day. That's the best we can do, friends. It's just get through a day. Just a day. I'm looking for eternity. How am I going to get there? Spiritually speaking, I'm lame. Never could walk. Didn't know how. Didn't have the ability to do it. The best that I could do is just the scraps that this world would give. Get me through this day. Get me to my bed at night. Then we'll do it all again tomorrow. Then the next day. And then the next day. There are days that I don't know that I'm going to make it through. There have been days that have been all right if the Lord had just taken me home. There have been times I didn't want to see the next day. That I'd rather had just laid down and went on to be with the Lord. That's the juniper tree. Elijah walked, ran 150 miles from his greatest triumph on Mount Carmel, his greatest triumph, and then one sentence said to him, and he ran for his life. He left his servant and he went further into the wilderness and he threw himself down under a juniper tree. He said, "Take me now, Lord. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy." You ever been under the juniper tree? I highly recommend the sycamore tree. It's a better place. There's a little short man that climbed a sycamore tree one time. He did. And he had a much better view than Elijah had under the juniper tree, because that little man, Zacchaeus, he climbed up that tree and he saw the Lord Jesus. That's a much better place to be. And then Jesus looked up and saw him. Jesus knew he was there. He said, "Get on down here. I'm going to have lunch with you today. You're taking me out to lunch." If the Lord wanted you to take you to, for him to take you to lunch, would you do it? Wherever you want to go, I'll go to your house. I want you in my house. I'm going to eat with you today. And that day, salvation came to that house. But this man could only escape. That's all we can expect of our own strength, is just to get through the day. And sometimes that's not enough. Asking of alms, asking just to get him through. And he sees Peter and John, and they're going to go past that gate. They're going to walk past that man, but that man asked of alms and Peter stopped. Peter stopped. In verse 4 it says, "And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" I've got something better. Something better than silver and gold. If I had silver and gold, what I'm going to give you is better than that. Because what I know, and what I'm blessed to know, is far better than rubies, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my friends, I'm going to tell you something. I like to collect facts. I like to collect useless, trivial detail. I like to impress people with all the dumb stuff that I know. I do. Ask me about it. If I don't know, I'll make it up. Oh, and it'll be funny. You'll enjoy it. Well, I'll have a good day. Have a good day with Brother Dave. Brother Dave knows a lot of stuff about nothing. And it's impressive, right? Right. Sure. I like to collect useless, trivial facts and things of that nature. I like to know a little something about everything, which is a hard job to do. At any rate, I know a few things. And I try to stop I try to keep learning. I like to read. I'm always reading something. Always got my head in the book. Read, read, read. I love to read. I read everything. Well, not everything, but a lot of things. A lot of genres. A lot of things that you think, why would he read that? I don't know. It's interesting. Get off my back, you know? Okay? And so at any rate, and so like I do that, I'm reading something about, you want me to bore you? Let me tell you what I'm reading now. I'll bore you to death. It'll bore you to death. Everybody's going to say, what's he reading? I'll tell you tomorrow. Come back tomorrow. You'll find out. All right, a cliffhanger. But they like the cliffhanger. At any rate, all the things that I have tried to learn, to retain, and everything. But let me tell you, the greatest thing that I know is Jesus Christ. That's it. And have you, I love what Peter said. Such as I have. Oh, my friends. If we could just know the such that we have. If we could know what the Lord has bestowed upon us and the Lord's gift to us. And whatever it is, if it came from the Lord, it's better than silver and gold. And if we could all come together as a church with such as we have by the Lord and bring it and offer it and give it to each other, what a blessing that would be. What a blessing that would be. Some have a gift of prayer. Some can sing. I don't have a good voice. I've got a loud voice. So I'll sing loud. That's what I tell people. If you can carry a tune, sing. If you can't, sing anyway. But if you can carry a tune, sing louder than those who can't. That's what we need to do. We all have our things. Some can preach. Some exhort. Some can cook. Some can have the gift of charity. You just read about that. And if we all bring it, it's what we've got. That's the church. And what a blessing it is. What a great thing it is. That's the assembly, the called out, the house of the Lord. Such as I have, whatever I have, if it came from the Lord, I'm going to give it to you. Because I'm going to tell you something, my friends. The best way to keep the church is to give it away. The best way to keep your gift is to give it away. The best way to keep your ministry is to give it away. And the Lord will fill it up again. And everybody's blessed. And just don't change yourself because of that. God called you to that and give God the glory and the praise. But He said this, chief among whatever it is, in the name of what? Jesus of Nazareth. Now that's a name you need to know. Have you ever noticed the song, how many songs we sing about the name of Christ and sing about it? How sweet the name that Jesus sounds. Any believers here? I had about eight of them 2 minutes ago and I forgot them all. But you can remember them. Sweetest name on mortal tongue. There we go. Sweetest note in seraph song. Sweetest carol ever sung. Jesus, blessed Jesus. That's the best thing you'll ever know is Jesus. That's the best thing you'll ever find out and ever discover. And if you're blessed to know that, then you've got everything to be thankful for. Because you're going to heaven. Did you know that you didn't learn the name of Jesus Christ to go to heaven? I'm going to say that again. It kind of flopped. All right, here we go. You do not have to know the name of Jesus Christ in order to go to heaven. Thank you. And if you do know the name of Jesus Christ, you are going to heaven. Because it means you've been born again. You see, I believe in a too late doctrine. If you know about the Lord, it's too late, you're going to heaven. That's the too late doctrine I believe in. It's too late. You're not trying to get saved. You can't get saved. You are saved. How are you saved? By the grace of God. Right. Well, how do I get the grace of God? Well, you can't get it by works, because if you get it by works, then it's not grace anymore.
Right.
So grace is given to you, bestowed freely by loving God. Did you deserve it? No. If you deserved it, then it wouldn't be grace.
All right?
I get a salary every 2 weeks. I think I deserve a lot more. Right? Right. That salary I get from Bexar County is not grace. It's not grace at all. It's anything but grace. At any rate, but they give it to me because I work for it. I do things and they give me money for it. But we didn't do anything to merit esteem.
As a matter of fact, we sing a song. What was there in you that could merit esteem or give the Creator delight? Can y'all think of anything? Is it because you're so good looking? Is it because you can sing real good? Is it because you dress up real nice? What is it? What is it? Is it because you have such great fashion sense? Or you like Brother Chris? You know, get all your suits at the best place in the world. And he's saved because he's wearing these fabulous suits. No, he's not. He's not saved because of that. I love it. Here he is. There he is. Yes, I'm talking about the pastor at Little Union Church. I don't care. Get mad at me. I love you anyway. I ordained the boy. I can throw off on him anytime I want to. At any rate, here we go. My friends, I tell you what, in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm thankful to know the name of my Lord and my Savior. And I'm thankful to be with people who worship His holy name. And I used to be, at a time, I was once like this lame man. Did not understand what was the beauty of the church. Did not understand what people saw in it. I saw people crying, and I wondered, why were they crying? I saw people come up and join the church, and I wondered, why? Why? You know, that song we, Brother Bill, started off with, when the dear old saints wash each other's feet. Why did we want to do that? That did not make any sense to me. Why would you want to wash somebody's feet? Touch somebody's feet? That's ridiculous. I could understand what Peter said. Lord, you will not wash my feet. No, no, you will not demean yourself or me by this. And I had to get over David Montgomery. I had to lose some pride. And I had to see Jesus Christ as my Redeemer. For me to go beyond that gate. And that's where the abundant life is.
Right.
And what the abundant thing about it is, no matter how much I rejoice, that's not enough to get me to heaven. But every time I do, it's a love letter from the Lord that says you're saved. You wouldn't do this if you weren't saved. You would never want to do this if you weren't saved. This world is not your home. This is not it. This is not the best it's going to be. This is not the best time of your life. These are not the good old days. The best is yet to come.
Right.
No matter how good this meeting is, there's a better meeting coming. Your best day hasn't happened yet. But it will. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, you can walk. You can walk. Because of that name. And Peter took him by the hand. And it says immediately, where am I? I'm lost. Third chapter of John. Here we go. Verse 7. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked. And entered with them, here's my favorite part, into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Amen. Amen. The most beautiful thing about the beautiful gate was what happened beyond the beautiful gate. And the most beautiful thing about this story is that this man who was lame stood. He not only stood, he walked. He not only walked, he leapt. He couldn't get past that gate fast enough. And there, what was he doing? He was praising God. And it says, and all the people saw him. Amen. Amen. Saw him. They saw him. It wasn't in secret. It wasn't something he was ashamed of. It wasn't something that he was afraid people think that he was strange. Guess what? People are going to think you're strange. You are strange. Matter of fact, Peter said, don't think it's strange when people think you're strange. Because that's not strange. You are strange, but it's not strange they think you're strange. Just go ahead and be strange. Be happy in it. You know why? Because it's another indication. You're saved by grace. You're not of the world. You're not of the world, little children, John said. He said, greater is he that is in you than is in the world. He said, you can overcome the world because greater is he that is in you. You can overcome anything in this world because Jesus dwells in you. How did he get there? By grace. Did you invite him in? No. Did you? You had no idea who he was. There's no recipe. There's no step-by-step approach to get saved. One time I went to the home of Clifford Goins. He was one of my followers in the ministry, Brother Clifford. Went to his house once a month. Spent the weekend with him. We'd study together. One time I was leaving his house and Brother Clifford said, Brother Dave, I'm going to give you a book that I think will help you in your studies more than anything else in this world. And I thought, I think I'm smarter than this. I think I know what he's going to do. He's going to give me a Bible. So that's what I thought he's going to do. But this is Brother Clifford Goins. He gave me a book. And the name of the book was How to Be Born Again. He says, I want you to read this book. You know, I learned more about the doctrine by reading that book. It's bogus, by the way. There's no formula to get born again. Did y'all know that? Yeah, we're primitive Baptists. Okay, thanks. Just want to make sure. All right, primitive. I still need to make sure. Primitive Baptists believe in what's called Holy Spirit regeneration. Okay, all right. That means you're born again by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Well, how do you get born again by the Holy Spirit? You don't. Simple. Jesus said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whither it cometh, whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, as much as I would like the wind to blow, sometimes all my yelling will not make the wind blow. So is the Holy Spirit, because God is sovereign. All right, now we do not believe in baptismal regeneration. Okay? There's some people that think that you have to be baptized in order to get born again. But it's got to be their baptism. Okay? It's got to be by one of their preachers. There's some people that believe, well, you just need to believe and you're born again. But how can you believe if you're not born again?
Right.
You can't. You would not want to believe unless you've been born again. Okay. There's some people that believe in baptism regeneration by proxy. I just made that up, by the way. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. That means that, well, I didn't get baptized. I kicked the bucket. So, somebody in my future, my descendants can be baptized in my name, and I get saved. Thing is, I know my relatives. I don't trust them a heartbeat. They say, we're leaving him where he's at. I'm going to do anything for him. I mean, I don't even trust my living relatives, much less ones that I don't even know. But I trust the Lord. I trust. That was funny, wasn't it, Brother Jerry? It's cracking up right now. I trust the Lord. I trust the Lord. I trust the Lord. You know why? There's several reasons why I trust the Lord, but the chief one that comes to mind, my mind is, He doesn't need me to trust Him.
That's right.
And He doesn't need me to love Him. As a matter of fact, I love Him because He first loved me. So, what happens when we come in like this, in this assembly? We're together. We call each other brother and sister. That's a beautiful sermon in and of itself. We sing together. We pray. We hug each other. We're glad to see each other. But then the Spirit is here. And time stands still. And we forget about the troubles. And we're transported into God's kingdom. It's a spiritual thing. And it's over. and we say, it was good to go to the house of the Lord. It's like that song we sing, then at evening we can say, we have walked with God this day. We have walked with God today. The scripture says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So if you hear his voice, we listen to it. Isn't it good to hear that still, small voice? Isn't it good to feel his presence? I was at a meeting this summer. It's one of those few lucid moments we have. Sometimes we're in church. Well, let me just say this. Sometimes I'm in church and I don't think that I'm in church. I'm just kind of marking time. Well, we're singing now. Well, he's up there preaching. I can tell by the way he's preaching, he's almost through. We're going to be eating in 5 minutes. And then there are moments that I like, wait a minute. I really feel the presence of God. I really am in the kingdom. See, there are times that I'm in the kingdom and it's just so wonderful I don't think about it until it's over. And what I'm trying to do, and this has been a real blessing for me, is to try to just be aware and cognizant, be lucid. This is the best thing that I'll ever do in my life, what I'm doing right now. This is the most important thing that I'll ever do in my life right now. No matter what I do, it's not as important as what I'm doing right now. And it's what I call the abundant life. It's what I call the good life. The good life is not out on a boat fishing. It's not hunting. I know I can get in trouble with that. I don't like to hunt. Why would you want to get out there in that cold weather? Let Brother Julian bring you the meat. It's great. That's why we have deacons, right? Amen. I have two deacons. They go up to Montana every year. They bring me home elk. That's pretty good. It is good. It's the best meat you'll ever have. But you got to be careful how you cook it, though. They go out in Mexico. They bring me the mule deer. I don't have to get cold. I don't have to get out there. There are things that I like to do. The things that I look forward to doing. But this is the best thing I'll ever do right now. Now, isn't that something that you can stop right now and say, I'm in the kingdom. Kind friends, what's wrong? Is there anything wrong right now? What's bothering you? What's bugging you? What's eating at you? Commend it to God. And put everything you got into what we're going to do this weekend. I want to preach better, Brother Jared, than I ever have. I don't know if I did tonight. That's up to God. But I'm going to give it everything that I have. Because I love you people. The Lord has been good to me. I'm happy. I'm blessed. Things are better now than they've ever been. You know why? Because I'm in church. Oh, you thought I meant something else, didn't you? No, I'm in church. I'm with my best friends. I'm with my kindred. But I'm with the Lord. And I've rose up. Bad English. I did anyway. I rose up and walked. And I'm leaping. And I went past the gate. And I'm with my friends. And we're worshiping God. All because of the name of Jesus of Nazareth. May God be praised. And all glory be to his most holy name. May the Lord bless you is my prayer. Dear brother, come ahead.